We are going to, for the next couple of 3 weeks, be teaching you on a culture of honor. I'm not teaching from a book, although I've been reading a book called that, and we do have that book if anybody would want a book on culture of honor. Before I do, Larry, stand up. Get up here. When I say get up here, I mean move.
The boss has spoken.
We have a friend whose wife has, I believe, is breast cancer.
Yeah.
And Larry and Debbie are raising some funds for Cyrus Hawkins and his wife Kayla, right? And so they got T-shirts. If anybody wants to buy a T-shirt to help the Hawkins defray some expenses, there it is. And it's not that pretty, though.
No, they're black or gray. Of course, it'll be Cyrus doing all the selling on them.
So what if I want a blue one?
Talk to Cyrus.
I still believe that we need to see cancer eradicated from around here.
Amen.
I'm sick of hearing somebody has cancer.
Amen.
And so, be in prayer. We're believing for complete healing for Fern.
Amen.
And we'll be praying for you before service is over. Okay. A culture of honor. What does that mean? It's kind of interesting because after reading some of this book, I went to my Greek lexicon and began to look up words just to see how they connect, what they mean, how you tie things together. And the word honor has the connotation of value, respect, importance. The church has made some vast mistakes in our teachings and in our practices. And that vast mistake is that the leaders are important and everybody else just pays the bills. So I'm going to show you that I'm not important. Brian, come and preach the message, will you? He just fainted. There are different positions in the body of Christ. There are different ministries. There's different giftings. But everybody in the body of Christ has amazing value to God. And when we quit looking at that and we begin to come to a place where I'm not important, I have no value, I will tithe or I'll give my money or I will help pay the bills, we come to a place where we're living way below where God wants us to be.
That's right.
And so when I started looking up the word honor, in the Hebrew is kabod. And the word kabod in the Hebrew is glory. Mm-hmm. In the Greek, you'll think of it and it's doxa. It ties in with glory. So in the Old and New Testament, the word honor equals value, it equals glory. And so I want to start in the beginning with Jesus this morning and show you some things and take us to where we need to go. Because there are people in this community, there are people in this church, there are people in this state, in this nation, in churches all over America looking at things and say, well, I just go. no value, no purpose. I was raised on the wrong side of the tracks. I was the wrong color. I was this, I was that. Let's stop it. And when somebody walks in here, I don't care if they're a park ranger or who they are, they have value in the eyes of God and therefore must have value in our eyes.
Amen.
So there needs to be a paradigm shift in our thinking. Paradigm is two dimes, okay? There needs to be a shift in our thinking where we come to a place of not, well, I'm going to help those poor people. I'm going to help those people who, you know, they're on drugs, they're on this, they're on something else. I'm going to help them. There has to be a shift where we not only help people, but we value people.
Yes.
And when we come to a place that we're helping people without valuing them, we're not doing a whole lot. And so turn with me, if you have your Bibles, to the book of John. The book of John. And verse 10 is talking about Jesus. Chapter 1, verse 10. And it says, He was in the world, and the world was made through Him, and the world did not know Him. He came to His own, and His own did not receive Him. But as many had received Him, to them gave He the right to become the children of God, to those who believe in His name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of man, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory is that of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Did you ever look at this in maybe a different way than you've always looked at it? And His fullness we have received, grace for grace and truth. But the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus, we know, emptied Himself of His earthly glory. Heavenly glory, forgive me. So Jesus came to earth as man. Are we okay with that?
Yes, sir.
I'm sure He still had His deity, but He never functioned as God. He functioned as a man through the work of the Holy Spirit. Now we also know something else. In John 17, before He went to the cross, He prayed to His Father, and He prayed, Father, restore the glory. How many have you read that?
Yes.
That I had with You before the foundation of the earth. Now I want you to think. It's not going to be difficult. I'm going to sit down so I can think. So He came, and He's praying now to His Father in John 17, telling the Father to restore that which I had with You, that glory that I had with You before the foundation of the world. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 40 says this. There are terrestrial bodies and there are celestial bodies. Did I lose you? Celestial bodies, if you're wondering, and it's a word we don't hear much, it's heavenly bodies. And there are also terrestrial bodies, which means that of the earth, or earthly bodies. So as I'm studying this and looking at it, I come to a realization that if Jesus left His glory in heaven, He walked on this earth with the glory of an earthly body. He walked with the body that we walk with. The glory that He had was because He was walking in the earthly body. There's a glory to your earthly body given to you by God. And there was a glory, the Bible says, that permeated from Jesus. And of course, like with us, is part of the Holy Spirit, but it's also the glory that we have from the earth and upon the earth. We okay?
Yes, sir.
And so we come to that place where glory is defined. Let me define it for you. I wrote it down. When ascribed to God, it means to be glorified, to be honored, to be glorious, His divine nature and His attributes. When ascribed to man, and there are different connotations, and we'll show you some of them in the Bible. When ascribed to man, it means to honor, respect, and have value. Let's look at something. Can I just be honest with you this morning and not hurt your feelings?
Mm-hmm.
Two of you. How many want to get your feelings hurt this morning?
Sure.
How many want to go home and say, I'm never going back to that church, that pastor's crazy? Well, I know it is. I know I am, so I'll agree with you. We choose as people who we value.
That's right.
Now look at me and tell me that you treat everybody that you come across the same. Curtis, it's got to be somebody you treat better than me.
Maybe.
We treat people, and we don't like this, we treat people the way we value them. And we actually choose how we're going to value people. Now, I had somebody call me yesterday. All afternoon, mostly afternoon, I was at the church. I made some couple calls, but and they said, Pastor, I got to see you today before I kill somebody. They were serious. You know, you can mess with a mama bear, but don't mess with her cubs. Don't get between Mama Bear and her cubs, or you're in a lot of hurt. How many know what I'm talking about?
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Well, somebody messed with the cubs. What are you laughing at, Sherry? Pastor don't even mess with her little sweetheart. But somebody messed with the cubs, and the ire of somebody got worked up, and they were, yeah. She was serious. She wasn't joking. What had happened? Somebody got devalued to a place where they weren't important on earth anymore and could have been dead. Let's be honest, okay? And so in Jesus' life, he learned how to value people as he walked on earth. Not many employees would hire a bunch of fishermen to be their message carriers and do what they're doing. Or a murderer by the name of Saul, who became Paul, he found value in the eyes of God, and God used him mightily to minister the gospel. But for some reason, we don't want to talk about people that we don't like or people that have done something to us or people that we think can hurt us or people that we just want nothing to do with, and we look at those people as if they have no value. Anytime you want to leave, the door is open, but I want to finish this. If we are going to reach communities, towns, villages, people, for Jesus Christ, we have to shift our thinking to the way God sees people. You know, that's not as simple as it sounds, right? Take 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 17 with me, will you? The Bible says this in 1 Peter 2:17, honor all people. Say that with me.
Honor all people.
I can't hear you hardly.
Honor all people.
Thank you, Shelley. Love the brotherhood or love the people in the body of Christ and honor the king. Honor all men. Don't get upset, ladies. The men are the bride of Christ too. So if you can be called a man and we can be called a bride, we're okay, aren't we? Kind of balances out. Honor all people. What does that mean? It means to value them and respect them and love them. Do you ever meet somebody that you classified as unlovable? Do you ever meet anybody? Now, you wouldn't do this. Do you ever meet anybody you call the scum of the earth? Do you ever just look at somebody and say, I can't, I mean, you might have spoken to them, I just can't stand you. Get away from me. Can I tell you something? God has never created a person that he didn't love.
That's right, amen.
You know, we think of loving and not loving, and we don't like serial killers, and we don't like this, and we don't love this one, and we don't love that one. We don't like what they do, and sometimes we don't like how they live. But when we start taking away value from people, we've made them like animals. The culture of the church, listen to me, don't miss this. You can forget about everything else. The culture of the church has to be about the culture of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit glorifies Jesus, and Jesus is telling us that he's long-suffering, not willing that anybody should perish. Okay, let's get inside the church. We said earlier that people who aren't preachers, pastors, evangelists, apostles, or prophets think they got nothing going for them. That's not scriptural. 1 Corinthians 12, turn with me. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. How many of you realize you're part of the body of Christ?
Yes.
How many realize you're a member of that body? Let's look at this. Verse number 14. You got an open mind?
Yes, sir.
Have you closed it and say, Pastor, I'm ready to go home? Okay. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I'm not the hand, I'm not part of the body, is it therefore not of the body? Okay. You know something? Mom never called me pastor. She called me a lot of stuff. I remember one day I was out doing something, came home late, and she said, where were you? And I said, I went so-and-so. Well, I told you not to go there. She says, who's in charge here? And I said, I am. Did you ever get hit with a broom? Yeah. Huh? And I had a friend with me. I was embarrassed. I was lucky I didn't get the strap on my bare behind. So we look at things and, well, we're not the hand, so we're not important. And if the ear should say, because I'm not the eye, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? Jerry, let me ask you something. What it's like to live with one eye? If the whole body were the eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were the hearing, where would the smelling? But now God has set members, each one of them, in the body as he pleases. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. So let me ask you something. If we are all just a mouth and no hands, how do you get food in? We okay? And so we come to a place where we need to look at this and come to a place that everybody sitting here right now is valuable right here. And so we don't check out because we feel we're not important. We don't check out because we don't seem to have the giftings that other people have. Let's look at this. No, in verse 22, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor, and our unpresentable parts have greater modesty. We take a back seat to the call of Christ on our lives because we look at it as we have no purpose. Every one of you needs three things or four things. Every one of you need to be loved and to give loved, give love, to have value and be respected. Your wife needs to be loved. You as a man need to be respected. But every one of you needs to have value and importance and respect. When that doesn't happen in the body of Christ, there's no unity. And not much gets done. Turn with me to Romans. Verse number 9. Whichever verse number 9 you want. Chapter 12. Before I read this to you or you read it off the board, keep in mind something. I or God or no one can force you to give people value. Doesn't happen that way. I or God or nobody else can make you respect people. We have to allow God to give us His heart and come to a place where we see things the way He sees them. And we see people. You shouting or are you just looking at me funny? Verse number 9 says, let love be without hypocrisy, or really love people. Don't just tell them you are. Amen. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love and in honor, giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligent, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, giving to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Are we okay? In this body, when by our actions, our attitude, or our words, we let people know we don't care for them, we don't want to be around you, we want nothing to do with you, we begin doing the work of the enemy. And I have no interest in solidifying the kingdom of Satan. When we come to a place and start spewing, it's got to be my way or the highway. And if you don't like me that way, that's tough. We come to a place of saying, the only one that has value around here is me. And instead of bringing people into the kingdom, we push them away. People become fragile. People have heard a lot of their lives, you're dumb, you're stupid, you have no value, you're not important. And even though they know in their minds it's not true and in their hearts it sticks, come here, Lane. I'm going to wring your neck. So my grandson, he was student of the year in his high school. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I could ruin that this summer by telling him how dumb he is, how stupid you are. At home, he'd hit me, but now he's got to just take Thank you, bud. I'm not buying you nothing. But we can twist people. You can control people. You can make people what you want them to be in your mind and ruin their lives. And we can do it in this church. If you don't line up with what Christian Outreach Center believes, if you don't do this, if you don't do that, then in our mind, you're anathema. You're a curse. And don't come back. That's demonic. And we as people need the God traits, the God character of looking at a person and seeing in that person what God sees.
Yes.
Like we said last week, do you realize that Judas was going out doing miracles and working for Jesus? And Jesus had placed value in him, even though from the start he knew what he was going to do. And every one of you here, everyone, and I'm pretty close to being done, needs to recognize you have value. You have importance. You have purpose. And God has a destiny for your life. If we don't take hold of that, we're going to walk around looking at the cracks in the sidewalk all our life and never lifting our head up and rejoicing in Jesus Christ. Now let me check my notes because I preach without looking at them. I better check and see if I got something important to say here. That was pretty good. I grew up, it's not on my notes. I grew up being called Fatso. That was my nickname. I was very much overweight, uncoordinated. Nobody really knew that I was going to be the next Aaron Rodgers. I was more like, if you've been a Viking fan, I was more like Joe Capp than any of them. But I had to work through that. Because even when, you know, you make all conference, you do some things in football and played some hockey, and my senior year we won the state hockey tournament when there was one team in Minnesota, one league in Minnesota. There had to be a change in how I thought about myself. I want to close with this. There comes a time in your life when you have to learn to forget. I was raised in a time and I never heard my dad tell me he loved me. Anybody else? Any other people here? Your dad never told you that? Didn't hear it. It just wasn't normal. It just wasn't that nationality. My dad came to one football game and we had a rainstorm. I probably left at halftime. We were playing a team from Winnipeg. And I know there's a lot of people in America being raised without dads at home. But I also realize there's a lot of people being raised without dads speaking into their lives and letting them know how much they love them and how proud they are of them and how much they appreciate them. But for you and me, from now on, let's get our character and our self-esteem from what God thinks of us.
Yes, amen.
Because we have a Father that can love us like no earthly father can. We have a Heavenly Father who sent His Son to die for us. Don't look in the mirror and think you have no value. Don't look in the mirror and think you have no importance. Maybe you're not an athlete, or maybe you're not this, or maybe you're not something else. Nothing needs to be based on what you aren't. We need to base things on what we are, who we are, what God sees, and what He tells us. We okay? Can we accept this? And can we live it out?
Yes,
you know, if you were lied to all your life and told that you have no value and no importance and there's no need for you on planet Earth, we break that in the name of Jesus. And we speak into your heart this morning. You have value. You have purpose. You're important. God loves you as much as He loves anybody else in this world. And we need to apply that to our lives. I was preaching one service, and I made a statement that was so true years ago and probably not as true today. But I made the statement, and I knew when I said it, somebody was there. They never came and talked to me, but I knew someone was there. And I said, even if you were conceived in the back seat of a car, God loves you and gives you value. And we need to remember that. If somebody looked at you and called you illegitimate, you're not to God.
That's right.
You didn't surprise God.
So
pick up from there and carry on with God saying, go for it.
Yeah.
Go for it. And I want to bless you.
Amen.